Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of Snipes and Stripes with my good friend Tim Peel, the best referee to ever lace the skates up in the National Hockey League, right here on nofilter.net. We got a lot to talk about. We didn't do a show last week because I was traveling and we wanted to watch the Four Nations Cup final, which did not disappoint, maybe a little bit because USA didn't win, but we'll talk about that. But Tim, how you doing, buddy? How's your week starting?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good. I missed you last week. I'm excited. You're right. We have a lot to talk about. But before we get to anything, I have to ask you, did you get ragdolled by the Biebs yesterday? Did you get ragdolled by Justin Bieber in
the
LA?
The Biebs ragdolled me. He got the shirt over my head. He kind of jumped me. He got the upper hand on me, and it was all over from there. It was a lot of fun. Hey, if you saw Bieber, he's ripped up, man. That guy's in pretty good shape. He's really small. I don't know how strong he is, but he's ripped up. He's definitely takes care of himself when it comes to his fitness, man. But
he's a huge hockey fan, buddy. He grew up in Ontario in a small town. It's amazing where he came from to be this international star that he is. But you know, I think it's pretty well known that the Biebs loves hockey, and
he really does.
It looked like you guys had a great time. You had a lot of big names out there yesterday.
Holy cow! Well, I walk into a meeting, and there's Vince Vaughn. You know, my hero.
Yeah.
You know, and he was so excited to see me. It was kind of like long lost brothers. We haven't seen each other in a long time. So it was great to catch up with him. Al Michaels was in there. You know, do you believe in miracles? It was great to see him. Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito. I saw that. That is awesome.
He's such a sweet man, such a great guy. And, you know, it's really funny. It's like I go up to a guy like Danny DeVito and I said, "Hey, Mr. DeVito, I'm, you know, always been a big fan of yours. Nice to meet you." He goes, "Oh, JR." Oh. I'm like, you know, you forget about, you know, you're a star in the sports world, right? And it's just
it's really a bit humbling. It's a bit humbling, I'm sure, right?
Yeah. And then going up to Will Ferrell and he went to shake my hand. He's like, "Hey, what to shake my hand?" I said, "No, I'm a hugger. I've always wanted to hug you." And I hugged Will Ferrell and Steve Carell was there and Snoop Dogg and, you know, Dave Boreanaz from Bones and SEAL Team. Just really cool. It was a cool experience, man. Let alone the NHL was there. Gary Bettman was there. I saw Milan Lucic was there. I mean, all guys from, you know, ex-teammates, the players, and seeing a lot of my ex-teammates in LA. It was, I'll tell you what, LA Kings are a first-class organization.
Yeah, they are.
From front to back, what they do for their community, the way that they treat their ex-players, their alumni, they are first class all the way. And so the fans there, probably some of the most underrated hockey fans in all of the game. They sell out that building pretty much every night, regardless of where they are in the standings.
I know.
It's pretty fun to watch.
You know what? You're so right about the organization. And it starts with Rob Blake and Luke Robitaille. They're just both classy guys. And you're right. That place, every time I worked there, no matter where they were in the standings, they had a great crowd. But you talk about all those celebrities that were there. I don't know if we would have seen that 10 years ago in LA. Maybe 10. But hockey's grown, man. And with Team USA last week, hockey is continuing to grow. What Team USA did for the country last week, unfortunately, they came up a little short. But they made a lot of non-hockey people hockey people. You got JJ Watt. You got all these celebrities that you and I both know, may not know them, but we follow them on social media, whatever. People are tweeting out about Team USA. It's on the news. It's on Fox News. It's on CNN. It's on all the big TV stations. It was fantastic.
You know, and even going on to Instagram, right? And seeing some of the posts that non-hockey fans were saying, right? People from every ethnic background, every part of the country, every part of the world that are like, "Hey, I never watch hockey. I don't know hockey. I don't like hockey, but I like hockey now."
Yeah.
You know? So let me start this whole Four Nations conversation as whoever's idea this was, congratulations.
Right.
This was a massive success. This was a grand slam home run idea that not only was great for the league, but it was great for hockey and the hockey world, right? So I didn't know what to expect coming into it. We had conversations leading up to it. I think we both said, this is crazy doing this in the middle of the season. This is crazy stopping us an NHL season to so we can have four nations battle it out. What if they get hurt? What if all these scenarios? And then, boom, that first game happened. And I was roped in. Boom, the second game happened. I was more excited. And then Saturday comes, U.S. versus Canada. And the whole world was sucked in. And it was amazing to watch the competitive level, to watch the physicality of the games, to see how the NHL players bought in to a mini tournament within a NHL season where they have a Stanley Cup goal in mind. Tells you why NHL hockey players are the greatest athletes, the most respectful, the most proudest, and I think they showed the sporting world how you're supposed to act as a professional athlete.
Yeah, it was unbelievable, buddy. You and I will talk about the injury thing because you and I got into it weeks ago about I was saying they wanted to play for their country and you agreed, but you talked about the implications of having injuries, and we'll get into what injuries there are now in a few minutes. But I was looking forward to it, but it far exceeded my expectations. I don't think any of us thought that it was going to be to this degree. If people thought that it was going to be like an all-star game where there wasn't a lot of checking, man, were we ready for the complete opposite? Because it just goes to show, and you just alluded to it, with hockey players, they're the most tremendous athletes that I've ever known, the most generous with their time, but they're so passionate about putting, whether it's Team Finland, Team Sweden, the U.S., Canada, putting on their country's jersey. All of a sudden, a switch goes off, and they are ready to go through a wall. And we saw that in all the games. It was absolutely the best. And I know that with the All-Star game, you've got to do it every couple of years because it really is the All-Star game at the end of the day is for the corporate sponsors to wine and dine them and take them down to South Florida, you know, and take them to an All-Star game. But man, oh man, if the next time we have an All-Star game, it's going to be a major letdown because this was incredible. And next year we won't have an All-Star game because we're going to have the Olympics. And I said to Bronson driving in the truck to hockey the other day, I go, I'm already jacked up for the Olympics next year, JR.
Yeah.
Like, that is going to be awesome.
I think that just set the tone, right? We just got an appetizer of international hockey on the highest level. Hey, you know, maybe they do bring back the All-Star game and they give out different incentives. Maybe there's a sponsor out there that will give a certain amount of money per hit in the All-Star game, right, for charity. For every hit, we're going to give $10,000 to somebody, right?
I remember you threw a hit in an All-Star game and you pissed everybody.
I had Alexei Zhitnik a couple times back.
Yeah,
you
pissed everybody off.
Yeah, and then Big Walt got me in my last in 2004 in Minnesota. He hit me pretty hard. He wanted to throw it back at me, which is okay, which is great. All right, let's chat about this game. Let's chat about the whole final thing. So leading up to Thursday's game, and you're right, every single news outlet, every single eye was on the NHL. There was nothing else really in the world of sports on Thursday except this game. And when you have CNN, MSNBC, CBS, NBC, ABC, ESPN, TNT, you know, Fox News, everybody was covering it. It was great for the world. And obviously, politics came into play with, the governor of the 51st state and Donald Trump going back and forth, Trump calling the team. I was nervous going into the game. I gotta tell you, I mean, to beat a team like the Canadians in that roster two times in a row is one thing. But I knew that the U.S. team was banged up. Yeah, I knew they were sore. I knew they were beat up. A couple of the guys really, really big guys, that very important guys, were not even at 60% in terms of their health,
They weren't even practicing.
and still played.
Right.
McAvoy was out, which was probably the big loss when it comes to kind of slowing down Connor McDavid, or at least neutralizing Connor McDavid. But I was nervous going into the game. I don't know how you felt.
I was 100% the same way. I said to anybody that asked me here in St. Louis, who do you think's going to win? And I said, it is pretty tough to hold down Connor McDavid, Nathan MacKinnon, and Sidney Crosby on 2 games in a row. I was on the same mindset as you. I did not have a good feeling about it. I said to my son, I said, because Binnington's a St. Louis guy. We live in St. Louis. We root for the Blues in Binnington. And I said to him driving to school, I go, Bronson, I said, we need Binner to let in a couple softies tonight, because I said, I just, and sure enough, who scores? MacKinnon and McDavid. But to all the critics out there that were questioning Jordan Binnington, and should he even have been in this championship game? He, for whatever reason, first of all, I was thinking about this a couple of days ago, and I wanted to ask you about this. You know how some golfers always play well at a certain course, like in the
Some
PGA.
goaltenders have played better in certain buildings.
Jordan Binnington, 2019 against Boston, it should have been 3-1 after the first period for Boston. He absolutely stole that game. He was incredible. Here we have, fast forward 5 years later, he's back in Boston. Does an athlete, JR, because you were there, does an athlete walk into a building and go, oh man, I feel
100%.
I'm at home?
100%. I did that every time I walked into Maple Leaf Gardens
Really?
or Air Canada Centre.
Yeah.
I felt like that every time I walked into Madison Square Garden. I absolutely felt very comfortable. And this is a great story, because I was walking out of the Boston Garden, and there are two guys that were all dressed up in USA gear. Right.
Yeah.
And they were pissed because
Yeah.
Americans lost. But they were more pissed at Binnington because
Right.
Binnington stole that game.
Yeah.
Those saves that he made in overtime were absolutely spectacular saves. They were the four best saves
Yeah.
of the whole tournament for Binnington. And it was in overtime. And the Boston Bruins, these guys are Boston kids, right? They're Boston fans. And the guys were like, I hate that effing Binnington. I hate him. He kills us here in Boston.
Yeah.
He kills us. He beat the Bruins in game seven. Now he beat the US tonight. He goes, and I went to thinking about it. I'm like, oh my goodness. Yes. Binnington thrives in this
He
building.
does. And
And he showed it.
he thrives in the big games. He thrives in the spotlight. Listen, he's played decent this year. Hasn't played, I don't think he'll, and I think he'd be the first to admit, to the level that maybe he expects of himself. But he's also not playing in front of one of the best teams in the NHL either. I think unless something drastically happens, I think Doug Armstrong, if I remember correctly, he's the GM of the Olympic team, and obviously John Cooper is going to be the coach. How do you not say, hey, Bennington's our guy until somebody else steals it from him? Because this guy, we know the famous line, do I look nervous? He likes the spotlight, buddy.
Yeah, he really does. Well, listen, I don't think he did. I don't think he played very well during the tournament. I mean, he let
He
in some
played
good goals.
okay.
He played
Yeah.
okay. Didn't play
Yeah.
bad, but
Yeah.
didn't didn't really impress anybody, right? So, to win those games, it comes down to sometimes the goaltender is going to save you, right?
Right.
Sometimes it's the goaltender is going to be the guy that's going to win the hockey game for you. There was one big shot by Canada in overtime, and it's the one that went in. And as great as Hellebuck played the entire tournament, as great as he played, he didn't make that one save for the US.
I know.
Now, could he have? It was arguably as good a shot as you can make from that side. It is a lefty going far side,
Right.
you know, there is definitely better, a good chance of, you know, of Hellebuck getting that hand up there. It wasn't like he was out of reach, but, or unless he was out of position. But the difference was Binnington made the saves, mm-hmm. and Hellebuck missed it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not making any blame, but that's how small the margin of mm-hmm. error is to win a championship or to win a tournament or to win a Stanley Cup. And that game showed it.
Well, my good friend, who you know, Andy Strickland, him and Cam Jansen do this Cam and Strick show. Strick tweeted out something during the game. He goes, are we going to see the Jordan Binnington of the playoffs and the Connor Hellebuck of the playoffs? Because if you remember last year against Colorado, Hellebuck was terrible against Colorado.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I love the guy. Vezina Trophy winner, going to win it probably back-to-back years. But he's got to be able to show that he can steal a game for somebody in the big moment.
Yeah.
And until he does that, he won't go down as a great goaltender. He'll go down as a good goaltender, but he's got to rise and win that big game. So listen, one other thing on that goal, Austin Matthews took some heat as he left McDavid alone. But what's so ironic is literally 45 minutes before that goal, I was going to tweet out, man, Austin Matthews is a tremendous two-way hockey player. He made some great back checks.
He played a great game. He played a great final game. It was his best game of the tournament.
He really did. It was a missed assignment by him, I guess. I don't know.
I want to break this down for you. And I want you to understand how hard this job was for Austin Matthews, this particular play. I do want to say, I would think that Team USA would expect more from Austin through the tournament. Mm-hmm. He didn't score a goal the whole tournament.
Right.
Which was surprising. But he was the best player in the last game.
Yeah,
Austin Matthews was with the exception of Slavin.
Jeez.
I mean, we'll talk about him in a minute too. Besides Slavin, Austin Matthews was the best player and Brady Tkachuk.
Yep.
Brady Tkachuk also. So those three were the stars by far, not even close second. But let's break down this goal, okay? Because you when I say that this whole game was so great, if you could have written a script on how you wanted it to go, Austin Matthews scores the goal mm-hmm. from Jack Eichel and, you know, pick another one, you know, pick another superstar, yeah. right? From Matthew Tkachuk,
yeah.
right? That's one. But you got an overtime goal from, and I don't even think it's an arguable. I think the three best players in the world, okay? Cale Makar,
yeah.
Nathan MacKinnon, and Connor McDavid. So I want you to kind of, and I know this is going to be long-winded, but everybody says, how does Connor McDavid get wide open in the slot? How does he get all, why do they leave him like that? Okay. There's a lot of things that kind of go into the chemistry, the mentality of the course of a play.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, the faceoff was to the right of Hellebuck in the right circle.
Yep.
I hated, cause I'm a right-handed shot.
Mm-hmm.
I hated taking faceoffs in the left-hand side. Cause I'm, off, I have to pull all the way across my body, right? It's an awkward right. move. Why Austin Matthews is taking that face off when Jack Eichel is a righty?
Mm-hmm.
He's in that area, right? Number one, mm-hmm. he's on his strong suit. He had one of the best face off percentages of the game, if not of the tournament. Okay, but you have a lefty in Austin Matthews taking that against Connor McDavid, a very good faceoff guy, who is a lefty.
Right.
Okay, so he's on his strong side.
Right.
So right there, automatically, wrong people on the faceoff for US. Okay, that's my opinion, number one. So now you have Connor McDavid wins the puck back to the point. Now Team USA is getting in defensive mode. on the right side of the ice, the puck gets thrown all the way around to the far blue line on the boards where Carol McCarr goes and gets the puck.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So now the whole play has shifted to the other side. So now all five players have to readjust, come all the way over and make different defensive assignments, pick up certain guys, pick up lanes. Do you know where Nathan MacKinnon goes? Nathan MacKinnon goes all the way in the opposite corner,
yep,
with his feet against the boards and stands there. While everybody else goes over here, Nathan MacKinnon goes and stands on the complete opposite corner of Cale Makar.
It's like they played together.
Okay, Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon play together.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a big, big asset for them.
Yeah.
Big benefit. The whole play now comes over to Cale Makar. Cale Makar holds it until he waits to the last second, till everybody gets over. Whack, he throws that puck all the way around.
Yep.
Where MacKinnon is standing right there. He's a righty. He has all the time in the world to get that puck off the boards. Now, all the USA is panicking. Now they have to move all five guys back to the other side. And you have one of the most dangerous players in the world that has the puck. So the defenseman goes, and all McDavid has to do is to go into that slot.
Uh-huh.
Into that quiet zone.
That quiet area, yeah.
But there's so much confusion because of that puck changing sides so quickly.
Right.
Austin gets kind of caught veering towards the puck, as does the defenseman. So you have two guys leaning towards the puck. You have a right-handed guy in MacKinnon. He makes one move to the outside, creates the lane. You have Connor McDavid, who's in the slot, a lefty, which creates more space for that, yep, pass. And it was a very simple tape-to-tape pass right to Connor McDavid. And by the way, Connor McDavid is going to be open even if Austin Matthews is 1 foot out of position.
Yeah.
1 foot.
Yeah.
Because of this. And of course, you have the most talented player in the world who, right, has that puck on his stick and off his stick and in the top of the net within a matter of a split 0.5 seconds.
Yeah.
Which not many players in this world could do, because what they would do, they get it, they'd sweep it, then shoot it. He,
yeah,
got it and shot it in the same motion, which with the accuracy that he did is one of the most incredible shots I've seen in so long, and talent riddled that it just, so when you break it all down, it was an amazingly technically planned play that worked to a T, and there was nothing USA could have done about it. The only thing that could have been done is Hellebuck makes a big save and robs McDavid.
He would have had to rob him, exactly. So, I don't know many goalies that are going to make that save. It was
no, exactly, which I get, but I mean, again, he could have robbed him. I mean, Binnington made that big glove save that with that high shot that was tattooed, uh-huh, to the left corner earlier in the overtime, that he got it, and he could have missed it, but he got it. Hellebuck could have got it, but he didn't, and the game was over. Yeah. I am not putting any blame on Hellebuck.
No
question.
I know you're not.
He played awesome, but it was the perfect play with the perfect players and the perfect shot. Period. End of sentence.
Yeah.
What a storybook series. This is crazy.
I wish Brady was healthy for the final game. I wish Matthew was healthy. I don't know. I haven't talked to Walt, and nor would I ask him. But obviously, it's something serious, because
I know why they're going to take a little bit of a break, and they deserve a break, and they need to get the break and get ready for their playoff runs. Hopefully, Ottawa can hold on for a little bit while Brady takes a little break. I don't think we have to worry about Florida making the playoffs for Matthew to get back and get healthy. You know, you question Boston, whether Boston is going to be in trouble now that McAvoy is not in there. Then they're vying for that wild card spot.
Buddy, I think stick a fork in Boston. I think they're done. You should have made that bet with me this year, not last year, because I was doing some research this morning. So you've got McAvoy out. Do you know, this is an unbelievable stat. You're not even going to believe it when I tell you. The World Juniors this year, Boston Bruins are the only team in the National Hockey League to not have a player, a kid, playing in the World Juniors. They don't have one play. They didn't have one player playing in the World Juniors. They have traded away almost all of their good draft picks. Is that unbelievable?
Wow, that's crazy.
Not one.
That's crazy.
So I don't know. I think Boston's done, buddy. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. Does Marshawn?
Well, that's the case. If that's the case, their future looks a little bit dim.
Looks terrible, right?
Yeah, they don't have any really big young players that are going to be able to come up and fill the voids of some of these older guys that are going out, right?
And Hampus Lindholm, one of their best defensemen, he's done for the year, or at least I think for the year. I was reading today, he's got a broken patella, if you can imagine.
Yeah, broken kneecap. Yeah, I heard that. He's been out since November. He's been gone for a while. So
without him, I don't know. I think it's a steep hill to climb for the Bruins. And, you know, is their window closed? You know, there's rumors today that they're going to trade Trent Frederick. They just don't have a lot. Listen, I said when their coach got fired this year, Jimmy Montgomery, when he got fired, I said to people, I think I said to you on the show, I said, I've looked at their lineup. I don't think you can blame the coach here. I just don't think they're a very good team. They're an okay team, but I don't think they're a playoff team the way they're built right now.
They've kind of gone along the same realm as Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, they have.
Yeah. Kind of just really holding on to their older guys as long as they could. And,
yep.
You know, they do have some young studs, some younger guys that can do well, but, you know, I totally agree. I totally agree with you. But let's get back really quick. Can we just talk about how good of a defenseman Slavin is?
That's what I was going to ask you if we could talk about next. Unbelievable.
So here's the best defenseman that's not talked about in the league.
100%.
I watched him very, very closely on Thursday, and I watched him through the tournament because I don't get to see him too much, right? Because he doesn't get a lot of airtime where he plays. His hockey IQ, his defensive IQ, and obviously he's a big, lanky, big reach, good skating defenseman that doesn't care about going on the offense, mm-hmm. is totally satisfied with being a very strong, extremely intelligent, shut down defenseman. And you watch the little things that he does when he goes down on the ice to block a pass and his mm-hmm. timing, his swinging, having the wherewithal to swing the opposite way to get a stick to a puck, or reading into where the play's going and have himself in the best position and being able to break up passes, to break up shot attempts, to get a stick on a shot and deflect it out. His physicality in front of the net. I am telling you, if this kid doesn't win a Norris Trophy someday, I will be shocked. I'm going to put him there in the top five, top four best defensemen in the game.
It was impressive. He became a name, a household name for people in U.S. and Canada that don't get to see him play a lot in Carolina. And I agree with you. You know, Sidney Crosby had a tap in front of the net, and Slavin just turns around and takes it away.
Like, yeah, he turned the opposite way because he knew he couldn't go this way because he would have got stuck.
Turn the opposite way.
So he turned the whole opposite way and chopped that array at the last second, right?
This guy's going to make, if he hasn't already, he's going to make a lot of money in his career, JR, because he is a stud defenseman, man. I loved watching him play.
And the one thing that really impressed me, because you'll see a lot of defensemen just get the puck and just rifle it, right, aimlessly, and hope, they're called hope-for passes. This Slavin looks for tape-to-tape passes first all mm-hmm. the time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he'll have three different options, right? And he might have one option that would create a breakaway or a really good option, but it's a low percentage. And he'll just make the high percentage pass and just be 100% confident, right? Just make the right play at the right time. And that's age. That's being a cagey veteran beyond your years, right? Reminds me a lot of Lidstrom. A lot like Lidstrom, the way that he plays. Maybe not as offensive as Lidstrom was, but very, very similar.
Very composed, right? Very composed. Has a lot of similar traits to Lidstrom. Doesn't make mistakes. He just doesn't make mistakes. He always seems to make the right play. It's unbelievable. I was thoroughly impressed by him, and it was phenomenal. You know what? Before we talk,
hold on. We gotta go. We gotta go from thoroughly impressive to thoroughly not impressive.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know what happened to these two players, but they weren't the same players on Team USA that they are at their home at their NHL respective teams. How Kyle Connor was so ineffective. I mean, he ended up being up in the press box, and Chris Kreider was absolutely atrocious in that last game. Who took his place. I don't know what happened to these two players because both players are so dynamic, so fast, can score goals. And literally, they almost looked like they were scared shit on the ice.
You know what? You're unbelievable. Seriously, we didn't even talk today for our listeners before we did the show. And I've got written down here, Kyle Connor, 30 goals, Kreider, 17. I swear to God. And I was going to ask you about that. And isn't that funny? As bad as Connor was, man, do you keep him in that big game though, JR? Because he can score goals. And Kreider's done
well. They went with Kreider because he's bigger and stronger.
I know, but geez, you need to score goals too. Like,
know. I'm gonna say one more player, and I'm not being critical on him because I knew it was a big stage, and I love him. He's one of my favorites, and I love his family, but Jack Hughes just looked like he was out of place. He looked like he was intimidated. He looked like the speed was like he couldn't get used to the speed. And it's like when the puck got on a stick, he wasn't that dynamic takeoff. I'm confident. It's almost like he second guessed himself all the time. And it bothered me because I love Jack so much.
I said the exact same thing watching the game with my family. I said, Hughes, something's got to change with him because he's either got to put on weight in the off season to become a little stronger and thicker because he looks so slight out there. There wasn't any compete in him. Like, and he would just get knocked off the puck or fall down. It happened every shift.
Every shift. Yeah.
I know.
It just wasn't his time, and obviously that's a big stage. He's still young. I'm never going to be overly critical for Jack because I love him and he's a dynamite player. But this, it just wasn't his night that night, and that's. I hope he watches that game and learns from it because the kid's going to be a superstar for a long time. But I agree. That's one that I think he's going to want back. And one, when it comes to the Olympics next year, I would not be surprised if Jack Hughes is one of the leaders, in that tournament next year.
Yep. And you know what? I love him as a player, but Vinny Trocheck didn't do anything throughout the three or four
years. No, he tried to mix it up a little bit. I totally agree. I wonder what a Tage Thompson would have looked like on that team. Big, strong. Yeah, big, cagey, strong guy. Maybe what a Robertson would have been like. And by the way, this is Monday Morning Quarterback. I think the team did great. We're not saying anything about the team, but it's always going to be the wonder, right? I wonder how that would have been. But
that team
played with such passion, such grit, and they were tired and they were beat up, but yet they had a good chance to win that game.
Yeah, they did.
That team played hard. Whether they played good or not, some of them, they played hard.
Yeah, they did.
which you got to take your hats off to him, man. Both teams did. It was great.
Buddy, it was just good to see. It was good to see. You and I have been aching for this for 8 years. They haven't played till or almost since 2016 in the World Cup, 2014 in the Olympics.
Yeah.
We've gone that long without seeing Connor McDavid in a Team Canada jersey and the Tkachuk brothers and so on. This was epic and is going to go down as a phenomenal series. It's just a prelude to the Olympics in Italy next year. And I think we're going to be, the viewership for that will be off the charts because we saw what the viewership was. I think it was 9 or 10 million Americans watched it, which was the most watched game in, I think they said almost 30 history. Years. Yeah. History. Yeah. It was incredible. But before we talk about Ovi and some other things that are currently going on in the league, I do want to touch on, we touched on the politics of it. I got to be honest. I am utterly disgusted in the country that I grew up in and still love that they have decided to cancel. They canceled Don Cherry. Now they're trying to cancel the greatest hockey player of all time, our friend Wayne Gretzky, who's done so much for Canadian hockey. Has been the epitome of class his entire career, has grown the sport in areas in the U.S. that probably it never would have worked without Wayne Gretzky. And because he didn't come out with a Team Canada jersey on and because he's friends with Donald Trump, they want to try to cancel him. And some of these reporters up there, these woke...
What a joke.
Woke journalist Terry Jones, Bruce Arthur, these guys that, you know, Terry Jones tweeted out a couple days ago. He goes, I've covered Wayne Gretzky since the WHA and the NHL, because Terry Jones works for the Edmonton Sun in Edmonton. I've authored a couple of his books. Wayne Gretzky needs to come out and make a statement. And I'm like, are you a complete moron? Wayne Gretzky does not owe you guys anything. Who cares what celebrity endorses a political figure? It's none of our business, and it's none of your business. And I think it's disgraceful what they're trying to do to him.
It is disgraceful. But that's what they do. That's what they do.
That's what they do.
They try to shame people that they don't that don't agree with them. And it's that's what's wrong with the country. They call everybody else bad people when they're the bad people themselves. So it's shame on those writers. Shame on them, especially Wayne Gretzky, who has been absolutely the best poster child for and one of the best athletes of all time and one of the classiest of guys of all time. The classiest, like, amazing, amazing man. So shame on you people up there who think that Wayne Gretzky should come out and be anything different than Wayne Gretzky. It's an absolute joke.
The most humble superstar you and I have ever met. Ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. So I agree with you there. So I will say this. I was really disappointed with the Canadians booing the U.S. national anthem. I can't say I don't understand it, but I didn't like it. I get it. They're very proud people in Canada. Look at you, Pielsey. You're a proud Canadian. Mm-hmm. They're great people up there, and they're proud of their country. And I think they take that personally when they say, oh, why don't you just be a state of ours? You know, and I get that. I understand. But still, you got to have respect for... You know, you guys have respect for our nation's anthem, and they didn't do that. On Thursday, there were a few boos. We're in Boston. You're going to have a couple of the boss, you know, the mass holes.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The mass holes are going to, some of them. But for the most part, it was very respectful. It was very quiet. And you know, Boston represented themselves great. So hopefully this whole booing anthems is done. And we can respect each other. Let politics be politics, but let's respect the countries. So I had to say that.
Well said.
I have to send a shout out to Doug McLean up there in Canada. He ripped me pretty good about, because I said this is a big game for Canada because they could lose their prominence as the hockey is Canada's game, right? And all that stuff. And
oh, did Doug rip you?
Yeah. Well, listen, he was very fair. He was great. He's like, yeah, Jeremy's yapping his mouth off about not being a Canadian game and all that stuff. And he's right. I was, there's no question. but I had some validity in my points. I mean, is hockey Canada's game? Of course, it always will be. That doesn't always mean they will be the best at it, right. But it will be. And it was just funny. I was listening to Doug McLean talk about, talk about the game and about how big it was for Canada. And he took a couple jabs at me, and I just thought it was great. You know, he's such a good man. And,
oh, I love Doug.
Yeah, and I love. I just got a big kick out of it, and I'm like, that away, Doug. Give the guy some crap, you know. So I tip my hat off to Doug McLean for that that cool little rant that he had the other day. So it was great.
So we've got a few minutes left. Let's talk about Ovi, buddy. We gotta talk about Ovi. Oh, and before we do, breaking news, Trevor Zegras was just suspended for 3 games for his hit last night on Michael Rasmussen from the Detroit Red Wings. So Zegras has got a week off.
That's kind of a little out of character for Trevor, don't you think?
Yeah, it is. You know, I saw the hit. He deserved two or three games. I think Department of Player Safety hit it right on the head.
Zegras has had a tough ride. He's getting a lot of criticism. He's not producing. He's getting criticism from the fans, from the mm-hmm. press, from the media, from his GM to his coach. Listen, nobody. I don't want to see anybody get suspended or do something that's going to hurt somebody. But at least he's doing something that's showing some aggravation, some zest, some get some life in you. So I didn't see the hit, so I really can't comment on it. But
it's a 3-game suspension. You know, it is what it is. It happens at hockey.
What you're saying is we have a Trevor Zegras sighting. That's a good thing.
You would have been suspended about 30 times in your career if the rules were what they were.
I couldn't play. I could not play in today's game.
So Ovi scores 3 last night. And 2 parts of this story. Ovi scores 3. He's only 13 goals away now from Gretz's record. They beat Edmonton at home 7-3, and Edmonton loses the night before to Philly 6-3. So 2 parts of this question. First, would Jordan Binnington look good in an Edmonton Oilers jersey? They obviously need a goalie. And second of all, is Ovi going to break the record this year? He's got 17 games left. Before you answer the question, I want to read you this. His last 4 games, the Caps' last 4 games this season, they have 2 against Columbus, they have 1 against the Islanders, and the last game of the year is against the Pittsburgh Penguins. How fitting would it be if he broke the record and Sid was able there to be there? Because they've battled, but they have a huge amount of respect for each other.
I kind of wonder if they did this on purpose to put that game
right,
just for the hell of it. Let's put Pittsburgh against Washington just in case Ovi has a chance to break the record. And I'm telling you, it's going to be close. I don't think he's going to be able to do it this year. 13 goals in 17 games as a 39-year-old would be even more epic than what he's doing already. I'm not going to be surprised if he does it because he is Ovi. I did have to record a video for Ovi last night and make sure that if he does do it this year, that there's a lot of congratulations from a lot of people from around the league. Right. And,
They've got 25 games left.
Oh, I was going to say 17 games.
They've played 57 games, so they've got 25 games left.
Oh, they got 25 games? Then yes, I think he does it this year. At 25 games, I think he does do it this year. Right. And it could very well come down to that last game. And I would love to see Wayne Gretzky in the stands. I would love to see it happen. And can you imagine how much energy that team will get going into the playoffs after the year that they had, having Ovi break the most unbelievable sporting record maybe out there.
Right.
And I think I would give him an 80% chance of doing that this year with 25 games left.
Well, Tom Wilson today said that he has never seen Ovi so driven as he has in the last few months. So I think, we've talked about it before. I think he wants to get it done this year. He doesn't want to.
He 100% does. Well, listen, I'm sure Ovi's tired, man. He's 39 years old. He's played a lot of hockey. after he gets this record, what is there left for him? He's won a cup. He's won.
Right.
He's won MVPs. He's won scoring titles. You know, I think this would be the perfect way to end his career. And I don't think Obi wants to go through another summer of working out and getting ready. Right. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he loves the game so much he'll come back regardless next year. But I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't.
No.
I'd be like, sayonara.
It'd be a great way to leave. And you know what? Speaking about Ovi, we need to get into politics quickly. We need to get this war settled because we need the Russians in the Olympics next year. We need that Russian team in the Olympics.
100%.
And that was missing this year at the Four Nations. And I'm sure they will be, which would be great to see Ovi play in one more Olympics as well.
Yeah. Well said. Well said. I think that'll be great. But you know what? For the longest time, I didn't want Ovi to break it, but now he's this close. I talked to Gretz about it, and Gretz is like, hey, every record is meant to be broken. And Ovi's been just a true exemplary goal scorer, and it'd be great to have him do it.
So the second part of that question, does a guy, because his trade stock obviously couldn't be any higher right now, does Doug Armstrong consider trading a Jordan Binnington?
I don't see why not. I mean, is Binnington the answer to Edmonton's woes? Possibly. Is there a better goaltender out there than Binnington that could be available? That's a good question.
I'm looking it up, but I am almost positive that Jordan Binnington's salary is only 6.5, which he signed a 7.5. He signed a six-year, $36 million contract. So it obviously goes down.
It's a big contract for a team that has big contracts.
But, you know, is Stuart Skinner going to get you to the promised land? Is a team like Edmonton seriously trying to find that guy? You know, where's John Gibson going in Anaheim? You know, who's looking at him? Because he's been rumored to be traded for the last
years. He's older too. Right? How old is he? 36, 35?
He's got to be
up there. You know, Edmonton will be fine. You know, again, they're just coming off a break. I'm sure, you know, McDavid's tired. You know, there's no question. They'll be fine. They go through these. We've seen them go through these streaks before. You know, once the big boys get rolling and everything happens, they'll be fine.
Gibson's only 31. I thought he was.
Wow, he's been around for a while.
He's been around a long time. He doesn't turn 32 until the end of this season. You're still getting a young goalie. So it'll be interesting to see. But listen, before we go, I do want to pay our respects to the great Mike Lang and his family. Mike Lang, for any of our listeners that aren't old enough to remember Mike when he was the play-by-play guy for the Pittsburgh Penguins, go on YouTube, take 15 minutes.
Best calls ever.
Listen to his calls. He had the best calls ever. Scratch my back with a hacksaw. Mario would score. Elvis has left the building. Like all his sayings were unbelievable. And I was fortunate enough, and I know you've met him. I met him years ago. He was just an absolute gentleman. And it was sad to hear that he had passed away, because Mike Lang, he was a legend, man. He was amazing. An icon.
Absolute icon. Yeah. The hockey won't be called like that ever again. That's for sure. Not in the same tone, not in the same voice, not in the same expression. Mike Lang was truly he was a gem. He was a one of a kind.
So. Crosby would score and Mike Lang would go, slap me silly, Sidney. Like it was just, he just came up with great. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, Tim. Good job. Good job. Well, what a great way to end this week's Snipes and Stripes right here at No Filter. Thanks to our sponsors, Whiskey in the Wild, whiskeyinthewild.com. Go for your best chocolate and chocolate orange whiskey of all time. It is an experience. To Protected Net Guard, sponsored right there by Tim Peel, helping protect our young kids in the greatest game on earth. And then obviously Bet Online. We love our partnership with Bet Online. Go make some money. Just make sure you don't lose too much. Thanks for joining us every day, another day. We'll see you next week. Who knows what week? You never know what's going to happen with us, but we'll definitely have one. We'll see you next time. Peelsy, have a great week. And
You too, buddy.
we rocked it again today, buddy.
See you, pal.
See ya.